125.
Good morning. You all look so nice. I mean, got your new clothes on and things. You just look great. It's glad to have you here with us. We have a number of guests. We're honored that you've come to be with us. We invite you and encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A few months ago, I had the privilege of sitting in a class, and the brother was talking to us about songs that we sing. And one of the songs that he dealt just a little bit with is found in your songbook. I think it's 408, probably. I don't know. Somewhere along in there. The title of the song is Low in the Grave He Lay. And he had a lot of good things to say about that song. Told us about the author, those kind of things. A lot of tremendous things about that. But one of the things that, I kind of noticed about that song was the first two verses. You know, it begins like this. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Then the second verse says, vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Kind of sad. Especially if you just never sang the chorus. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? But the good news is we have the chorus, right? Up from the grave he arose. But it made me think about something. What if there had been no resurrection? I mean, Jesus died. That is a historical fact. No one argues with that. There's not anyone who argues with the fact there was a man by the name of Jesus that he lived over in what we refer to as the Middle East now, and that he died. It all hinges on this resurrection stuff, folks. It all hinges on this resurrection. But what if there had been no resurrection? What if in some far, some tomb hidden away somewhere, no one has ever found it yet, his body is still there? What if there had been no resurrection? Do you know Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? There's a section in there that he deals with just that point. And I want you to look at it with me this morning. I'm going to read it to you first, then we're going to come back and we're going to take off with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What if there had been no resurrection? Paul says if there had been no resurrection, preaching would be profitless. I mean, what I'm doing right now, there's no reason for it. What you're doing right now, listening to preaching, it's profitless. There's no benefit to it. It's worthless. It's vain. I mean, why preach about a Savior if that Savior is just like we're all going to end up being, dead someday and in a grave, and he's still there? It's profitless. I mean, I heard about a preacher who went to the barber many years ago when haircuts were 50 cents. He went to the barber and the barber cut his hair. After the haircut, the barber said, "Oh, you're a preacher. I'm not going to charge you." And the preacher, "Well, no, I want to pay. I want to pay." He said, No. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come and hear you preach. I'll take it out in preaching." And the preacher said, "Well, I don't have any 50-cent sermons." And the barber said, "That's okay. I'll come twice." Well, folks, I'm telling you that if Jesus is still in that grave, that sermon ain't worth 25 cents. It's profitless. It means nothing. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. He continues in that same verse. It says, if Christ is not raised, faith is foolish. It's vain. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I mean, faith is only as good as that in one in which we put our faith. And if our faith is in someone who said, "I'm going to be raised in 3 days, you kill this body, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it again." But he didn't. And he's still in that grave. Your faith is just foolish. It's foolish for you to put your faith in a man, in someone who would tell you something and then not be able to produce. I mean, how do you know he's the Son of God? How do you know he has the power to forgive your sins? How do you know he has the power to save you? It's all because of the resurrection. Hold your finger here and flip back a few chapters in your Bible back into the Roman letter. It's just before this 1 Corinthians letter. And Romans chapter 1. And the verse I'm thinking about is verse number 4. Let me read it to you. He says, I'm beginning in verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared now, get this, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. How do you know he's the Son of God? He's raised from the dead. How do you know he has power? He's raised from the dead. But folks, if the resurrection never occurred, then faith in him is just foolish. It's foolish. Thirdly, not only is preaching profitless and faith foolish, the disciples are deceptive. This is what Paul says in verses 15 and 16 here. I'm going to start in verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15. "Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he is raised from the dead," or he has raised up Christ, "whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Now back up there with me. Look again with me in verse 15. Paul says, "Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ." Notice he did not say, "We're found to be mistaken about the resurrection of Christ." Listen, folks, there is a difference between someone who is mistaken and someone who is a liar. Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we're liars. Talking about the apostles, we're liars. We're false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Well, if he didn't raise him up, we're false witnesses. We're deceivers. We're deceptive. Now, that makes me ask a question. Why are people deceptive? Why do people deceive others? And the answer is, well, people do it for gain, don't they? They do it for gain. Let me ask you, what do the apostles have to gain by preaching the resurrection of Christ if Christ is not raised from the dead? What'd they gain from it? They get rich? They make a lot of money? No. They died poor, penniless. Did they have an easy life? No. In fact, it cost them their lives, didn't it? Because they preached the resurrected Christ. It cost them their life. Now listen, you may live for a lie, but there is nobody I know that will ever die for a lie. These men died for this testimony. But Paul says, if he be not raised from the dead, we're false witnesses of God. We are. That brings up the second question in my mind then. Do you believe that Paul is a false witness? Do you believe that Peter, James, John, the other apostles were false witnesses of God? No. Folks, they say it, don't they? They say it in a number of places. We saw him. We touched him. We handled him. We ate with him after his resurrection. We're not false witnesses. We're not. But if he be not raised from the dead, we're false witnesses. Not only is preaching profitless, your faith foolish, the disciples deceptive if he's not raised from the dead, but sin is sovereign. Sin is sovereign. Look at verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Now, there's not any one of us in here, that's reached the age where we know the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, that hasn't sinned. We've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. If Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. You still are bearing those sins. You are. And so am I. If Christ be not raised, you're yet in your sins. In other words, God did not accept the sacrifice of Jesus for your sins if he didn't raise him from the dead. Isn't Jesus the sacrifice for our sins? Yeah. But if he be not risen, you're still in your sins. In other words, everything Jesus went through on the cross, everything that he suffered, God didn't accept it. He didn't accept the sacrifice for my sins. Now, do you believe that? I don't believe that. Do you? I don't believe that. In fact, I believe just the opposite. I believe what Romans 4:25 says, that he suffered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. Listen to it now. He suffered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. I don't have to bear my sins. You don't have to bear your sins. You don't have to go through life like that. You can have the forgiveness of your sins. They can be removed. They can be washed away. That's the reason such promises are made, as was made on the day of Pentecost to those people in Acts chapter 2. When they heard that this Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him Lord and Christ. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do then?" And Peter told them, listen to this. This is the promise. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This same kind of promise was given to Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes to us the Apostle Paul.
But Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of the church, in Acts chapter 22, when he's rehearsing and reminding people of what of the events surrounding his becoming a Christian, he says, Ananias, the preacher, came to him and said, Acts 22, 16, Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That promise is not available if Christ is not raised from the dead. It all hinges on the resurrection. If he's still in that grave, you're still in your sins, and so am I. I don't know which one this is, if you're numbering them. But Paul next says that death has dominion. Death has dominion. Verse number 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then they also which fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Get what he says. Do you have a loved one? Husband? Wife? Parents? Grandparents? Child? Niece? Nephew? Do you have a loved one who died in Christ? Forget it. Forget it. It's over. It's done. They're perished. If Christ be not raised, it's over. That makes life really a cruel joke, doesn't it? I mean, all the relationships that we enjoy in this life, and when they die, well, that's the end of that. It's all over. It's all over. A few years ago, a great man, one of the best friends I ever had, passed away. The flowers were all banked up. And as I'm waiting for everyone to get there, and we're about to start this service, I'm looking at these arrangements of flowers, and there's one to... You just tell it's from the grandkids. The grandkids had bought this, had it put together. It's addressed to Pop Pop. And we finished the services, and as the tradition is, as the preacher, you always stand at the head and you're trying to comfort the folks as they come by. And I noticed one of the grandsons who walked up to the casket and just reached over and just patted Pop Pop on the arm. And I thought to myself, is that all there is to it? Is that the end? I mean, Pop Pop lived, Pop Pop died, Pop Pop's gone, Pop, that's it. No, that's not the end. We'll see them again, won't they? Won't we? If they've died in Christ and we die in Christ, or we live till Christ comes, we'll see them again. But if Christ is still in that grave, if he's still in that tomb, wherever it's at, if he's still in that tomb, then death has dominion. It's over. It's done with. And then he says, not only does death have dominion, but the future is fearful. The future is fearful. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this life only, hit that word only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I mean, if this is all we got to look forward to, folks, think what a miserable existence this is. You know what's waiting for you in this life? Grow older, get sicker, die, either be cremated or have some dirt thrown on you, and hungry microbes eat your flesh, eat your remains until there's nothing left. If he's still in a tomb, that's all you got to look forward to. We're of all men most miserable if in this life only we have hope in Christ. If there had been no resurrection, preaching would have been profitless. Faith would have been foolish. Foolish. The apostles were just deceiving us. Sin is sovereign. It controls our life. There's no forgiveness for it. Death dominates. And the future, that's all we got to look forward to. The future is fearful. It's fearful. But read with me verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That's a fact, folks. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ is risen from the dead, and he's just the first. What about me? What about you? He's just the first fruits of them that slept. But now is Christ risen. Now think about what Paul's saying to you there. Christ is risen, so preaching's not profitless. Rather, it's the power of God to save, 1 Corinthians 1:21. This is not something insignificant that's taking place here today, something without reason. It is profitless. Oh, no. Every time you get to hear from God's word, mark it down. That's the power of God to save. Faith is not foolishness. Because we have faith in him, the very power that raised him from the dead works in us. Ephesians chapter 1. It works in us, Paul says. And in chapter 2, he tells us about that power. As he ends that chapter by saying, for unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, be glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. The power that raised him from the dead's at work in us. There's not anything he wants us to accomplish, he wants us to do for his cause that we don't have the ability to do. Our faith isn't foolishness. We're justified by it. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Because he's risen from the dead, sin is not sovereign. It's not sovereign. We have forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus. Death does not dominate. It's not the end. It's not all over. There is more. Listen to Jesus. You know this one, don't you? After telling his disciples, I'm going to be delivered up to the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. You remember Peter says, Jesus says, and you're all going to forsake me. Peter says, not me. I'll die with you. This is John 13. Folks, John 13 is followed by John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, does that sound like someone who's still in the tomb? It's not the end. Death doesn't dominate. Death doesn't dominate. And the future is not fearful. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, for they shall rest from their labors. and their works do follow after them. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. That's not fearful. That's living with anticipation. Living with anticipation. We can know where we're going. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're headed? Back in the 1940s? Why? Albert Einstein, his face was as well known as any movie star of our day. Everyone knew, even though there weren't many televisions around, everyone knew what Albert Einstein looked like. He's a genius. People marveled at the things that he thought and the answers that he came up with. He was a genius, but he was absent-minded. Kind of like, the genius part, Bill. I lost my keys this week 2 times. I hadn't told her, but I locked my keys in my car the Saturday before. She didn't need to know that. Albert Einstein was absent-minded. But everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. One day he was on a train. He had been speaking and teaching at Princeton, and he was on a train going someplace. And as he boarded that train, and everybody's seated, here comes the conductor by, and the conductor's asking, "Ticket, please." And he'd punch those tickets. "Ticket, please. Punch that ticket. Ticket, please." He got to Mr. Einstein. Mr. Einstein looking for his ticket. He looking in his briefcase. He can't find his ticket. And the conductor says, "That's okay, Mr. Einstein. I know who you are. Everybody knows who you are. And I know you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." And he moved on. "Ticket, please. Ticket, please." And he got 2 or 3 down the road. He looked back, and Mr. Einstein's on the floor looking under the seats for his ticket. And the conductor came back to him and said, "Mr. Einstein, sir, I know who you are, and I know you bought a ticket. Don't worry about that." He said, "I know who you are." Mr. Einstein said, "I know who I am too. I just want to know where I'm going." Isn't that us? We just need to know where we're going, don't we? And you can know where you're going. There is a resurrection. Christ was raised from the dead. He's the first fruit. There's going to be another resurrection day. There's going to be another one. The same one who was resurrected from the grave said in John 5:28, "The hour cometh when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." You can know where you're going. You know where you're going. If you're in Christ, if you're a disciple of His, you're a follower of His, you're an obedient child of God, you can know where you're going. Life eternal. But if you're not, you can know where you're going. Condemnation. The one who was raised from the dead said it. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? If you're here and you're not a Christian, where are you headed? Right now. I mean right now. If death should come your way, or the Lord Jesus Christ should come back like He said that He would, where are you headed? Don't get mad at the preacher. Get mad at the one who said it. That was Jesus who said that, right? It's condemnation. It's condemnation. But you don't want that. You don't want that. So why don't you determine to become a child of God today? In just the way the people that we read about in the New Testament did. We read about the first ones on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 being baptized because they believed. And because they were willing to change, repent, they were baptized. About 3,000 of them were added unto them that first day, on that day. You know, if you keep reading through the book of Acts, you'll read about 8 other. There were many more. We know that because the church grew by the thousands, multiplied thousands. I mean, it starts off with 5,000, then it's 10,000. It just gets to multitudes. I mean, I guess too many to count. They all became Christians the same way, but we have some specific events, and you'll read about 8 more of them. You know how they became Christians? The same way those on the day of Pentecost became Christians. They believed, they repented, they were baptized. And you can do the same thing today. You can go home knowing you're headed to heaven. You know where you're headed. We're here to help you with that, and we will. But folks, you not only have to be a child of God, we must be faithful children of God. Maybe there are those of us who are here who are children of God who aren't living the life we ought to be living. We're not as committed to Him as we should be. We're not as devoted to Him as we ought to be. We know it. We know it. And we know the God who raised Jesus from the dead knows it as well. We know we've got to change. We know we've got to return. Why don't you do that today? And we're here to help you with that. If we can, by praying with you and assisting you, we're here to help you with that. Maybe you have other needs. You need some study. You need some encouragement. You need food. You need something. We're here to help. We're here to help. And we'll help you any way we can. We're going to do it in a formal way. We're going to be led in a song. We're going to stand. If you need the invitation of Jesus Christ in any way, you just step out on one of the aisles and make your way to the front. You come now as together we stand and sing.